Go ahead and open up again to the book of Philemon, where we were last week. Tonight we're going to surround the book of Hebrews, because Philemon is the page before the book of Hebrews. Then we're going to go to the book of James, which is the first book after the book of Hebrews. So we're going to surround the Hebrews tonight. Hallelujah. Real quickly from the verse that we're looking for, I don't hear pages turning, so I see pages turning. Hallelujah. We're talking about having effective faith. Because it's funny how people can talk faith, live faith. You know, I mean, well, you know, they can talk it. They have all the right words. They have all the right sayings. Until you need faith.
Yes, yes.
And then, yeah, me too. Well, me too. And apparently, a lot of other people, because it's in the Bible. You know. But what I want is effective faith. I want that when the trouble comes, when you're faced with it, that you can draw on the power of God by your faith, and just put it bluntly, stuff happens. However you want to put that in theological terms, the power of God's released, the anointing comes, stuff happens. You know, that's what we're after, right? Now, one of the first things to get your faith to become effectual simply means it works. Something's happening. It's having an effect on you and on other people around you. And so we were looking last week at the book of Philemon, where it says, let's just look at verse 6, we won't review all of that, that the communication of thy faith, communication in this case means demonstration, people watching you, see, they see your manner of life, that your faith may become effectual, it may have results. How's that? Well, apparently there's such a thing as having ineffectual faith. See, and that's head knowledge. I operated there for years. I could preach all the different things. You know, it's because I'm a good student. This was before the prayer center, you know. And I told you before, my mentors were tapes and books. And, man, I'd listen to them. I could preach their testimonies as good as they could preach them. I knew them, you know. But it seemed like every time I start to step out on faith myself, you know, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, I'd fall on my face. That's where I've come up with that phrase now. It's really hard to live on another person's faith. It's not impossible. I mean, you can get some results that way. That's why we have prayer lines. That's why we have a prayer clause, other things, okay? You can get some results. But boy, if you're on a desert island somewhere and there's no green line, you know, there's no green line. Your faith better be effectual itself. Well, how does it become effectual? It tells you right here. I love this hardly ever preached on verse. That the communication, the demonstration of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you know this. I'm sitting there listening to Tim's message this morning. He didn't use this verse, but he was teaching this same truth. Because he was, can you see it now that you think about it, you know, with this same verse? Because he was saying, look, I know in your, Sue and I were talking about this on the way home, you know, that message of Tim's this morning was saying things like this. In all the prophecies, when God speaks to the prayer center, and that means everybody here, he never really talks about our shortcomings, does he? He talks about us being faithful. But see, if you ask me, or if you ask Sue, or, you know, in my mind, I haven't been all that faithful. See? And so I'm going, we were talking about that on the way home, going, well, has God got amnesia? You know? No, he's just not looking at the same part of us that we are. See, he's looking at the part of us that's born again, spawned of his spirit, the part of us that is his child. See, I got to talking about it. I said, you know, if I was just going to go by my soul and the way that, you know, I mean, I'm not. Let me just put it this way. I could have trouble believing I'm even saved. Okay? You know, if I just go by my soul, let my soul tell me who I am. And, you know, just based on what I do and how I act sometimes, you know.
Sometimes that's nice. Well, my soul, if my soul was my teacher, if my soul was my teacher, it would have me believing I was fat and old. And that's obviously not true. Can't you see my spirit? I'm only 33 years old in my spirit.
Amen.
You know? I'm a warrior for God. What's wrong with you? What do you mean I look tubby? What? Who said that? Who said that? Based on the physical evidence, my soul does not really call me the man of God that the Bible calls me. And it doesn't call me the same that my father calls me. Did you ever hear about that? Time out for a minute. You know one thing about a mother? There's nothing like really a mother's love. This story goes around. This happened down in West Texas somewhere years ago. And this lady had two sons you only had two boys. It's her boys. Mm-hmm. Nobody could ever get her to say anything bad about those boys. And her boys really are a couple of little, I mean, they weren't little now. They were young men, you know, and they were rowdy. Let's use the word rowdy. Mm-hmm. One night they come into town, got all liquored up. And they were just started taking their guns and shooting all the streetlights out into town. Little small town. Just shot all the streetlights out. Boy, the sheriff, he drove out there the next morning, started telling the mother about this. And she said, well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe my boys would do that. Well, just get in the car. Get in the car. I'm going to take you into town and show you what your boys did. Brought her into town, showing her all the streetlights all shot out. She says, now you say they did this after they had a few drinks? Oh, they had more than a few drinks. He's waiting to see what she's going to say. She says, pretty good shooting for a couple of boys in their liquor. That's kind of Tim's message in a way. God's not saying the same thing about you that you're saying about you and that your soul is saying about you, see?
Yeah.
Our minds have got to be renewed to that golden man that's on the inside. All right. Well, one of the first ways that faith, what the Bible says about you, can begin to become effectual is to begin to acknowledge. How do you acknowledge? Well, let's see. My name's Gary. I acknowledge that this is Pamela. I have met Pamela. I know Pamela. Hello, everyone. This is Pamela. I acknowledge Pamela. I say that I know her. I acknowledge her. Well, when you start acknowledging every good thing that's in you. Let's start with something we can all agree on. Let's see, look around the room. Okay, we're safe. Say, I acknowledge. I am born again.
I am born again.
Oh, hallelujah. We agreed on one. We agreed on one, didn't we? All right. How about this? I acknowledge that I am on my way to heaven.
I'm on my way to heaven.
All right. Hey, we got two out of two. All right. You ready? I acknowledge.
I'm healed.
Okay. All right. We're okay so far. All right. How about I acknowledge.
I am holy.
I'm looking around. I didn't hear as many voices. Or at least they were weaker, like, I'm holy. I could go on, and the more extreme I get towards what the Bible calls you, you know, the more difficult it is for us to believe. Why? Because our soul is continually programming what we think we are, which is not at all like what God says that we are. We have to begin acknowledging every good thing that is in us. Now, where we're going, let's do this one, since this is calling in the lost night and we're pressing towards revival. Acknowledge this one. I am a disciple.
I am a disciple
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
I am a believer.
I speak with new tongues.
I cast out devils. When I lay hands on the sick,
they recover.
Now see, that's easy to say. But the next time you're in the restaurant and they park the wheelchair person right next to you, right across that next table right there, you could reach out your arm and almost touch them. And there's a voice on the inside. Not always. Now make sure it's not your voice.
But if the Lord says, go lay your hand on. First you have to,
if we all start acknowledging really who He is on the inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Step number one is you've got to acknowledge it. You got to begin calling yourself, just like Abraham, calling yourself what God called you, no matter the circumstances. No matter what, it's just exactly like me, again, it's such an obvious example, walking that field out there, smoking like a freight train, but calling myself free from sin. Because Romans 6 calls Gary free from sin. In every area of life, step one is the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Now, I suggest you do that during the peace times. You know what I mean by that? Turn over to James. Turn over to James. Because that's... choose your own training ground. See, when the enemy is coming at you in the thundering hordes with swords drawn and they're coming right at your neck, that is not the best time to start saying, I think I should train for war.
No.
All right, now it's better than no time. If you haven't done any training, start training. But you can start now by making your own confession, spending time in the Word, getting your mind renewed now. I want to give you a good example of that in a minute, but look at this now. And you, this would have started in chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the prayer center which is in Tulsa. Is this not the Word of God to us or not? It is.
Yeah.
Fred's over there. What? I saw him put on his glasses. What? I'm just saying it applies to us or it doesn't apply to us. It does apply to us. Eh? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, say out loud with me, when my faith is tried,
when my faith is tried,
that's when I need to count it all joy. I never get phone calls for counseling because people are having too much joy. You know? We're going through this horrible trial. And I have too much joy, Brother Gary. I had to call you. It's never like that. Oh, now she says she's going to do it now. But knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Why? Boy, if you ever learn how to operate in this, see, that you may be perfect, that means mature and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. I think that's a good place to be. We all want to be in the place where we're mature and lacking nothing, but nobody likes the process to get there. I'm going to tell you this, one of my favorite stories. If she was here, I'd tell it also. It's my middle daughter, Angie. Years ago, and she's a little faith girl. I mean, boy, if you need prayer, you get Angie to pray for you, okay? I'm telling you, she's a little faith warrior. But she's, I remember when she was learning these things, and she'd hear my testimonies and Sue's testimonies, and she grew up in all this, you know. So this was quite a few years ago, and her husband had been going to night school and had applied for a better job and had gotten a job, and they knew when he was going to start. All right, now the thing of it is, from the time that he would leave his old job till the time he would start his new job, there was several weeks gap in there. And I don't remember the exact circumstances. So they knew when that time period was going to be. So they had been saving ahead. He was working, and she was working. They were putting money aside, and they figured, we know how much it's going to be. And so they thought they had done good. Well, they got into it. How many of you ever found out the best plans of mice and men, you know, sometimes go astray, you know? Well, so she called me one day in the middle of this. I can't remember. It was like 2 or 3 week period, something like that. And we were about 2 weeks into it. I get a phone call. She goes, Daddy, my faith was, our faith, and she said, our faith was real strong while the money was there.
I know what he's talking about. Oh, Jesus.
And I just loved it because it was the perfect, I'd been there so many times myself, you know. Yeah. It was the perfect way to say it. I said, honey, everybody's faith is strong when the money's there. Or when you're healed, or when the kids aren't in rebellion, or when, you know, there's, you know, gasoline in the car and a chicken in the pot. We all have strong faith right then, you know. When do you need your faith to be effectual? When the temptations come, when the trial comes. When the trial comes. And that's why that do your training before the trial comes. Do your training when all hell isn't breaking loose around you. Say, Gary, I never have any times like that. Well, just do it all the time then. But see, that's the time. So that you can count it all joy when you fall into the divers temptations. Now, notice how it's worded. He didn't say, be joyful. It took me a long time to see that. I look at it. Does it say, be joyful?
No.
See, nobody likes unpleasant circumstances. He didn't say, be happy.
No.
You know, Paul wasn't happy, I don't think, when he was in prison with his feet in the stocks, bleeding from his back. That's not normally, you know, I mean, he has to be a little weird if he's happy. Okay? But he was full of joy because he knew he was right in the center of God's will. So he could count it joy without being happy. See, and we confuse that because we think he wants me to be happy when, you know, I'm fighting sickness in my body. No. He wants you to count it joy because your faith being effectual, you will win. You will come out on the other side. You count it joy. That means you have to do it on purpose. Please get that. How many times has Dave said, all right, with what's going on in my life right now, I'm reading this passage in James. Let's see. There's joy number one, thinking about a circumstance. Now let me think. Oh yeah. Joy number two. Joy number three. In other words, he's kind of listing the different attacks, if you want to put it that way, or circumstances, the temptations that it's fall into divers, which means more than one. Divers temptations. Well, that's the time when you have to count it all joy, knowing this. Boy, now here's the thing that we don't normally know. That the trying of your faith. Stop right there. I just again today was talking with somebody coming in or going out, and I was reminded of that phrase, that one sentence that the Lord said to me, I don't know, a year or two ago. He says, no one ever yet won a war by running from the battles. No one ever yet won a war by running away from the battles. We tend to want to escape the trial. And the truth be known, we are more than conquerors. And He's calling us to overcome in the trial. See? What we want is a life without them. And He's saying, learn to overcome them. And the more that you fall into His perfect will, the more He's going to send you into dark places. I have to just trust that these illustrations He gives me are the ones you need. We get all the time, we get this prayer request all the time from all over the world at our ministry. Where I'm working, please pray that God will deliver me out of where I am working because I am the only Christian in this place. Everybody around me is heathen and they're cussing and playing their music and talking about all this stuff. And please pray that I get out of here. And I didn't know any better used to because I felt sorry for them. In the early days, I'd pray, you know. And finally, God, you know, wakes me up and says, boy, they're the only light in that dark place. Don't you dare pray. Don't you dare pray I'll remove them out of there. They're the only light. Now, their light may be shining a little dim. You know? You know? We don't have high beams, we're on low beams, okay? You know? But pray they'll be strong where I put them. Pray their light will shine. I'm moving back now. Excuse me. Excuse me. getting that anointed spit all over the front row here. Pray their light will shine even brighter and brighter. How's that going to be if every time the devil says boo, you know, every time the devil says boo, you go hide under a rock somewhere, get on the line, you know. Oh, pray for me, pray for me. We'll pray for you. It's time for us to turn around to the devil and go, boo!
That's right.
The children of God have arrived. You're in trouble.
That's right.
We've come to take this city for our God.
That's right.
Develop a warrior mentality, see? That comes by a renewing of the mind. That comes by going through a few battles and winning. And winning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody ever yet won a war by running away from the battles. Well, they treat me bad there. I'm just going to quit my job. When are we ever going to get past poor little me? Poor little me. I know exactly. Trust me. I hope I'm honest enough with you guys. I mean, I try and be transparent enough. You know. God, you called me into the ministry. We've obeyed you, God. We haven't sold nothing. We haven't done this. We haven't. Oh, I've done what you said. Now we're $39.47 in the bank. Poor little Gary. Oh, God. Here we have the God of the universe.
Yes.
We have the Holy Spirit in us, with us, upon us. The Bible says we have uncountable, just myriads of angels that have been sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. You know primarily how they minister, how they get loosed? By the words of your mouth. They hearken to the voice of His Word. Not His Word laying in the Bible on your coffee table. It doesn't have a voice. They hearken to the voice of His Word. Boy, when you start... Now, here we go with that acknowledging thing again. You start acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Start winning some of these battles. Does that mean it's easy? When it says the trying of your faith, let's talk about that. Well, what do you believe? Go back to Angie. Angie, I love you dearly. I hope you understand. My faith is strong. My God's... Well, what would you say? What do you believe? I would say... Now this is when the money was there. My God supplies all my needs.
Uh-huh.
Pat her checkbook. Glory to God. You know, my God supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Yes.
What else would you say? The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek... She's heard her daddy. She's heard her daddy preach, you know. But it says, the trying of your faith. What that means is, circumstances will come. We're going to find out if you have faith or not. We're going to try you. We're going to test you. We're going to see. Do you believe it or do you not believe it? Whew, money's gone. Now what do you believe? I'm going to die! I'm going to die! She didn't say it like that. Could be anything. I remember the day that they gave me that diagnosis of my heart. Of my heart now. An incurable heart disease. I mean, they just plainly told me there is no cure for this. You're going to have it the rest of your life. As long as you take this medicine, it'll regulate your heartbeat and you'll keep you alive. However, we're sad to tell you, they didn't even tell me. I read it on the label. One of the side effects is it greatly increases the onset of arthritis. As you're about 50 years old, you don't need anything increasing the onset of arthritis, you know. Now, that's the trying of your faith. How many verses do I have? Let's see now. Himself bore my sickness and carried my pain. I've always believed that. Yeah, but do you believe it now? Let's see now. By His stripes I was healed, which means I are healed, which means I am healed. That's what I know. What do you believe? We've come to, this diagnosis has come to try your faith. Do you believe it now? Feebly and weakly, I hope you say yes. I can
It'll still work now. You got to hang on to it. It's come to try your faith. In a boxing match,
you've got the heavyweight champion, undisputed, maybe heavyweight of the world. Undisputed, you know. Well, they're bringing the next one in to challenge that. Are you really? And buddy, it's a fight. If you ever, most of you, I know, don't watch boxing. I see it sometimes through, what is it, Radio Shack window? You know? I'm remembering from my heathen days, sure. But, you know, hey, that's come to try you. That's what it is. The devil sends whatever to try your faith. And to be honest with you, in the early days, I lost more than I won. I thank God thank God we won some of them. That cancer deal was before we came to the prayer center. Thank God we won that one. Thank God that trial with our daughters, that was before we came to the prayer center. Just the fundamentals of faith alone, the foundational principles of faith, was enough. But thank God we came to the prayer center. And only then did we really start finding out the secrets. Well, it's not really secrets. It's just been hidden from the world for a long time. The true message, where the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. He becomes your personal tutor. He becomes your trainer. See, there's a difference between a teacher, is what I'm doing now. We have a multitude here. We have, the thousands upon thousands. Anyway, we have the people that are here. And I'm grateful. Okay. But we have one voice and many students. Well, the next step beyond there is tutor. See, the Holy Spirit is not just a teacher. It talks about Him being your private tutor. Because Him being God and having all the time that there is, and also being omnipresent, being everywhere at once, He has all eternity just to teach me personally. And at the same time, He has all eternity just to teach Mike McKeever personally. He has all the time to teach Danny. But then it's even one step beyond there. First there's teaching, then there's private tutoring, then He becomes your trainer. What does that mean? Well, remember in a football analogy, first you got to learn the plays, and that's where they sit you down in a classroom, and there's a guy at the chalkboard, and he's drawing the X's and the O's, and he's diagramming the plays. You have to learn that, all right. That's kind of what we do in church, you know. Yes, you lay your hands on the sick, and they recover. Yes, you pray in tongues, and you learn the mysteries of God. Yes, we're teaching you. But see, eventually, that trainer's got to take that football team. Football team. Out on the field. You know. They play football in the fall, but training is during the hot summer. So in August in Oklahoma, you get to put on the pads, get out on the field, and you begin, we're going to try you to see if you can play this game or not. That's when the Holy Spirit starts doing, that's really when life begins to get exciting. You start getting your own instructions from Him. Could be anything. I've told you many times, one of the primary ones for me, see, it's one thing to teach Luke 6, love your neighbor, love your enemies, do good to them and pray for them and all of that. It's another thing when He says, give your pickup to your worst enemy. Now we've left the classroom. We're out on the field. What pickup? I only had one. The one that you love. I'm not going to teach that again. You already know that example, see? Yeah, that pickup. Oh, that one. Besides that, wash it. And then wax it. And clean it out. Fill it up with gas. Change the oil. Have it looking better than you ever had it looking when you drove it. And give it to Him. You've left the classroom now, buddy. We're going to try your faith. In that case, what would it be? What would Gary's faith be? And that's a little different from cancer and that, and physical attacks. What's he trying there? He's trying this word right here. Jesus is my Lord. Not just my Savior. Mm-hmm. He is my Lord. We're going to come to these confessions. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Yes. Whatever you ask, that's what I do. He had come to test that in me. He'd come to try that. Oh, really? Give your pickup to your worst enemy. What? Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, let's continue on here just for a moment. I want to connect up this last part. Now, understand, in every trial... Yes, sir. Let me say it. Look at what he's about to say. Leave it in the context now. In the context of the trials have come, the temptations have come to test your faith. That's what's going on. And in the middle of that, normally, oh God, what do I do? Yep. All right, so in the context, if any of you lack wisdom, wisdom about what? Wisdom about how to function in this trial and when. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now let's go back to the person in the office who sent a prayer request, because to them their trial is all of these heathens around them, right? And so at their low level of maturity, they're still, who's on their mind? The lost? No, it's them. See, and we're all like that. Everybody starts out that way. Don't be picking on them. We're all like that. Sadly, we're all like that more than we want to think, including yours truly. We're more... Anyway. Okay? It's a progressive walk. All right? Now, in that case, let's say, oh, I've got this trial. What is the trial? I'm surrounded by heathen at my work. So, God, please, God, I want your perfect will. I'm asking for your wisdom. Now, because our brain is so locked in on get me out of here, when the wisdom comes, it says, take that one that cussed you out yesterday, take her to lunch today. I waver at that. I rebuke you, devil. See, because we're not yet seeing... The problem with God's wisdom is normally we're still so self-centered. We're not seeing from His perspective. Hey, one thing about it, if you was to obey that, and it may take several dinners, it may take a while to establish a relationship with that person, but if you ever win that person to the Lord, you've got an ally now instead of an enemy anymore, and the Lord is answering your prayer. And what if all of them got saved? Is He not answering your prayer, deliver me out of this situation? Now we thought, to hell with them, get me out of here. And he thought, no hell for them. I sent you here to keep them from hell. That's why we waver at His wisdom. That's why we waver at it. That's why that's in there. I'm asking for your wisdom. Did you ever hear about the guy that he fell off the cliff? He's falling and he reaches out and he grabs this one little scraggly bush, you know, and it's giving way. The roots are coming away. And he's yelling, help me. His feet are dangling, you know. He's 3,000 feet straight down. He's hanging on by this little piece of shrub hanging out of the cliff. And it's starting to give way. Will somebody help me? And finally Jesus comes over and looks over the edge and says, I've come to help you. Well, get me out of here, okay? First thing you got to do, let go of the bush. Here's my hand. Let go of the bush. Grab a hold of me. Let go of the bush. Is there anybody else up there? That's what we do. We waver at His wisdom. And the reason that we do, we're so immature, we're not yet thinking like he thinks. Now, I hope you can see how these two things go together. As we begin more and more, especially at this church, where you know the message that will get you to maturity, as you do this message and acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And no matter what the Bible says, bless God, that's who I am. I like that saying, I am what the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I can have. And I can do what the Bible says I can do. See, as we come more and more to that understanding, our prayers change. And when God's wisdom comes, because our mind progressively is turned away from poor little me to I'm okay, it's the whole poor little world. It's the world that's in trouble. It gets easier and easier to receive His counsel because you're thinking with His mindset and seeing the circumstances really more from His position with eternity in mind. Everything He does, now you might as well know this, everything He does has eternity in mind. Not your monthly bills. Although He cares and He understands even as I say that, but I'm telling you, He's wanting us to learn prosperity, not so we can have mega cars and mega stuff. It's so we can reach this lost world where He can literally merge wealth with media. He doesn't care if we drive, you know, He wants us to live right and drive right and it'd be okay. But dear God, we have got to mature past our personal wealth and our personal stuff, see. Are you connecting the dots here? You know, how... Yes, sir. Wavering... Look at it. We get another definition of His wisdom from God near the end of chapter 3. He's showing the difference between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. The world's wisdom and God's wisdom. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13, says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation," that means a good manner of life, "his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." This wisdom, what wisdom? The world's wisdom. You know, that only the strong survive. It's a competitive world. It's dog eat dog. The only way I'm going to get promoted is I got to make that person look bad. The world's wisdom, full of strife and envy, that wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, that means sense-ruled, natural, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Boy, now here it is. God's wisdom is first pure. The most pure wisdom I ever heard from God was giving that truck to my worst enemy. That was one of the purest words I ever heard. And I know it could never have originated with me. Never could have originated. Another one. That you've heard me say, His wisdom, see, is so different. Yeah. In those early days when I had those friends that I couldn't forgive, and one of the purest wisdoms I've ever heard from God, He says, every time you think of them, just pray that I can bless them. Just pray that I bless them. Boy, that was wisdom that was pure, straight from the throne of God. It had God's plan for them and God's plan for me. That's where it says, not partial. Look, the wisdom that from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Can you see that in both of those cases? Full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality, not showing favoritism. He's trying to do good for them and do good for me at the same time. Without partiality. I like that. See, when Jesus shows up, He doesn't show up to take sides. He shows up to take over. That's true. He's come to become Lord in everybody. Everybody that's in this disagreement, He's come to be Lord. He's come to take over. And if we'll listen to His wisdom, thank God He can. If God's wisdom in that work situation where you got one Christian and all these heathens, if God's wisdom is allowed to come in there, it won't be very long you're going to have all Christians. Or at least they'll have their opportunity. He's never going to force them. But if God's wisdom really comes, it's not going to show any partiality.
It's going to be pure without hypocrisy. It's going to be peaceable. And it's going to have everybody's good in mind. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Well, I think that's enough for now.
I don't know any way to get there. See, just reading that alone, and now that I understand it better than I used to, just reading that. See, we had been going to the prayer center when he asked me to do the pickup thing. And we had been praying. I was already out of the trucks. So I know it had been more than 2 years praying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours in the Holy Ghost. See, I pretty well know Gary. Had he asked me to do that before, I don't think I could have done it. I don't even know that I would have heard it. If I would have heard it, I would have rebuked the devil. You know, give that guy my treasured pickup? You've got to be kidding, you know. Mm-hmm. See? But something happens to us, and it's the maturing process where the Holy Ghost is tutoring every hour that you spend. I can't improve on a Picasso. The way Pastor Dave says, when you spend an hour praying in other tongues, it's like your spirit man, not your soul, your spirit man has come, sat down in the classroom. During that hour, the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that is the Holy Spirit. And he is communicating spirit to spirit, Holy Spirit to you, and really it's the mind of Christ to you. Not only the understandings of the mysteries of the kingdom, the revelation of the Word of God, but he's also communicating to you all about your calling. He knows exactly what the next step is for you. He knows exactly what's holding you back, whether it be unforgiveness or something else. Selfishness, pride, could be anything. He knows exactly what that is, and if you'll allow him, bypassing the whole arena of our soul, he'll get you to the place. He'll get you out on the training field to where that next thing in us can be changed so that we can hear his wisdom and flow in it. Hallelujah. He keeps bringing up this example. It's going to apply to somebody. One of the best examples of where a person could have wavered at God's wisdom was when they came to collect the tax, and there was not any money for the tax. Now, Peter was going to rely on man's wisdom. It said he was going into the house. I think he was headed for the bag, you know. Talk to Judas about some money out of the bag or something. But see, Jesus had another plan. Now, he didn't stutter. He says, I want you to go fishing. And I want you to take the first fish that comes up. And I want you to take a coin out of its mouth. I don't know about you. We read that and we think, yeah, that makes perfect sense. It'd be like today the Lord saying, well, I need $100. And he says, okay, get your shovel, go in the backyard. Okay, walk where I tell you. No, not right there. No, left, left, 2 feet forward, left. What? One step to the right. Dig. Dig right there. Lord, are you sure there's not a power cable? Dig right there. You dig down and you find a coffee can, an old rusty coffee can where somebody hid away some money 50 years ago or something. Said, you know, his wisdom, he knows what he's talking about. If we'll follow what he says, it'll work. How about the other time when he says, now, he didn't really instigate this. Peter put himself in a box. He says, if it's you, Lord. Now, Jesus is walking on the water. If it's you, bid me come. Well, the Lord's looking. It's me. All right. Come. Now you have. It wasn't a swimming pool. It's the ocean. And the winds and the waves were what? Boisterous.
Now, you talk about stepping out. That doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. This is what I'm saying. God's wisdom is not always, are you ready? Logical. Oh. Oh. But it is logical from heaven's point of view. See? How about the wisdom to Jesus? Lazarus is sick unto death. Well, I should go heal him. No, wait 2 more days. But he'll die. See, logic, we're not told all of that inner workings of that. But see, beyond human logic is, well, what's the difference? Whether to heal him or raise him from the dead, it's no difference to the power of God. We don't think like that. Yet. Put a big yet in there. Because we will think like that. The more we mature, the more God's wisdom is logical, but from heaven's point of view, and not man's point of view. All right. I don't know why someone needed to hear that fishing story. Maybe it's Mike. I don't know. See, I started to do a message tonight because I kept hearing this all day. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And I said, well, the answer is, partly we don't even hear a lot of what he says. Because we're so carnally minded, his wisdom is so pure, we don't even really hear it. You know? I thank God I was able to hear those 2 examples I gave you. I wonder how many I've missed. I wonder how many I've missed over the years, you know? But the other part of it, sometimes you hear it and you just can't do it yet. Does he hate you now? No. You keep on, you keep praying. We are God's hope in the earth. Christ has no other bodies but ours. So you better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. Keep doing the message. Makes me want to go pray in tongues.